The Volokh Conspiracy. Mostly law professors, sometimes contrarian, often libertarian, always independent. Court grants TRO barring, threatening, intimidating, and retaliation action, without a legitimate law enforcement purpose, against ICE Watcher. From Judge Michael Newman, S.D. Ohio, Friday in Mormon v. Doe No. 1. Since this is a decision at the temporary restraining order stage, the factual assertions are preliminary conclusions by the judge, not final findings of fact. Plaintiff Sean Mormon alleges defendants, seven unidentified United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, officers, in their official capacities, have retaliated and continue to retaliate against him for engaging in activity protected by the First Amendment. The motion for TRO was filed around 7 p.m. on Tuesday, September 1, 2026. The court heard extensive oral argument the next day at 4 p.m., lasting more than 1 hour. At the time of the phone conference, the AUSA who represented the government, EV, failed to contradict the Mormons' factual assertions and requested a 2-week extension to file a response brief. As detailed herein, based on the serious nature of the allegations involved and the threat of ongoing constitutional violations, this extension would be inappropriate. See Elrod v. Burns, 1976. The loss of First Amendment freedoms for even minimal periods of time unquestionably constitutes irreparable injury. Mormon volunteers as an ICE watcher in his spare time. As uncontradicted by the AUSA, Mormon lawfully and peacefully documents interactions between ICE officers and the Springfield community, noting potentially violent or unlawful action by ICE officers. According to Mormon, by August 20, 2026, certain ICE officers had identified Mormon as an ICE watcher and began lashing out at him. Specifically, on August 20, 2026, Mormon recorded an ICE vehicle driven by defendant John Doe No. 2. John Doe No. 2 turned his Jeep around and accelerated dangerously towards Mormon's vehicle as though to ram it, before veering away at the last moment and disappearing. The next morning, on August 21, 2026, Mormon stood on the side of a main road in Springfield alongside a reporter wearing a press badge and recorded ICE officers conducting an arrest. An ICE officer wearing a yellow vest, identified as defendant John Doe No. 1, approached Mormon and the reporter, put his phone in their faces as if to scan or take a picture, and then continued walking. Later that day, Mormon entered the parking lot of a Cracker Barrel restaurant in Springfield to observe and photograph ICE officers after identifying other, known ICE vehicles. Upon seeing Mormon enter the parking lot, the ICE officers, who had just exited their vehicles, immediately re-entered their vehicles. Mormon observed defendant John Doe No. 1 looking at him with binoculars. The ICE officers then pulled out of their parking spots. As Mormon proceeded to exit the parking lot, the ICE officers looped around and followed him. With the ICE officers following him, Mormon circled around the Cracker Barrel, another adjacent parking lot, and an adjacent dead-end road. After a few minutes, Mormon and the ICE officers returned to the Cracker Barrel parking lot. Each time Mormon pulled into a parking spot, the ICE officers would pull in front of and block Mormon's vehicle and prevent him from moving out of his spot. The ICE officers would each block Mormon's vehicle for 10 seconds at a time, sometimes taking photos of his license plate, before allowing him to move to another location in the parking lot. This happened for the next 10 to 15 minutes. Throughout this encounter, Mormon put his vehicle into park each time the ICE officers were in front of him and kept his hands on the steering wheel so that the officers could see them. Mormon eventually was able to exit the Cracker Barrel parking lot but ended up on a dead-end road nearby. At that point, Mormon was approached by the Nissan Pathfinder driven by defendant John Doe No. 3, who was masked and wearing large sunglasses. The officer waved at Mormon, apparently signaling Mormon to follow him. Mormon complied with the officer's direction. As Mormon followed the Nissan Pathfinder, a Hyundai Santa Fe driven by defendant John Doe No. 1 followed behind Mormon. The ICE officers led Mormon toward a rural area on the outskirts of Springfield where Mormon and his wife live. During oral argument, the AUSA offered no explanation for the ICE officers leading Mormon back to his residence. Upon realizing this, Mormon called other volunteer ICE watchers to warn them about the situation. He also called his wife, who who was home alone with their pets, and told her that ICE officers were heading toward their home and to lock the doors and stay inside. Mormon's wife cowered in the house holding a baseball bat out of fear. The Nissan Pathfinder then pulled up to the end of Mormon's driveway and slowed. Defendant John Doe number 3 put his arm out of the vehicle's window and pointed at Mormon's house. He took pictures of Mormon and his wife's vehicles. After this encounter, Mormon and his wife installed a security camera at their home and now keep their doors locked at all times. ICE officers continued to engage with Mormon throughout the next several days. Further details omitted for space reasons. Ev. The court takes notice that national incidents similar to those described herein have devolved into circumstances leading to serious injury or loss of life to officers and members of the community alike. Mormon seeks a TRO enjoining defendants and those acting in concert with them from taking further threatening, intimidating, and retaliatory action against him in response to his exercise of his First Amendment rights without a legitimate law enforcement purpose. According to Mormon, such actions include, but are not limited to, pursuing his vehicle, attempting to box in his vehicle, approaching him, traveling to his home, or shouting at him to intimidate him without a legitimate law enforcement purpose. While these events considered seriatim would be less concerning, when considering the allegations together, they amount to a substantial and troubling violation of Mormon's First Amendment rights. First, Mormon engaged and continues to engage in protected conduct. 8 circuits have expressly held that filming government agents performing official duties in public is protected under the First Amendment. Other courts in this district have also recognized this right. While some courts have imposed reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions on an individual's right to record law enforcement, the record shows that Mormon conducts his ICE watching activities in a safe and lawful manner. He records ICE activity only while in public spaces, takes precautions to make sure he is not threatening officers' safety, such as keeping his hands visible, follows applicable traffic laws, and does not interfere with ICE's enforcement operations. Mormon has also participated in specific training for individuals who wish to monitor law enforcement activity in a safe, lawful, and peaceful manner. Second, Mormon has suffered adverse action, S. An adverse action is one that would deter a person of ordinary firmness from continuing to engage in protected conduct under the First Amendment. While some retaliatory acts are so de minimis that they do not rise to the level of being constitutional violations, defendants' actions in this case surpass that threshold. Mormon asserts that defendants, over the course of several days, nearly swerved into his vehicle, scouted Mormon's home for no legitimate purpose on multiple occasions, causing Mormon's wife to fear for her safety, continuously stalked Mormon around Springfield, and cut off and trapped Mormon's vehicle in a parking lot. At minimum, ICE officers seized Mormon in the Cracker Barrel parking lot on August 21, 2026, see USVC 6 Sir. 2009, noting that blocking a person's car with a patrol car was a warrantless seizure, thus constituting adverse action. See Wood v. Eubanks 6 Sir. 2022, holding that a Fourth Amendment seizure amounts to an adverse action for the purpose of a First Amendment retaliation claim. Finally, Mormon has demonstrated a causal connection between his protected conduct and the adverse actions allegedly perpetrated by defendants. Defendants remain free at a later stage to show that they would have taken the same action regardless of Mormon's protected conduct. However, at this time, nothing in the record supports that showing, and Mormon need only demonstrate a likelihood of success, not a certainty. Here, defendants cannot identify a single, legitimate basis for continuing to harass and intimidate Mormon for exercising his First Amendment rights. Defendants, and others acting in concert with them, including all other ICE officers stationed in Springfield, Ohio, will suffer no cognizable harm from a TRO that does no more than require them to comply with the Constitution they are already bound and have sworn to follow. Moreover, it is always in the public interest to enjoin unconstitutional conduct. Mormon's proposed TRO is limited in scope. It requests that defendants refrain from harassing and committing retaliatory acts, including pursuing his vehicle, approaching him, photographing him in a threatening manner, traveling to his home, or shouting at him for the purposes of intimidation, without a legitimate law enforcement purpose. To that end, two items merit mention. First, the court is not telling ICE, part of the executive branch, how to do its job. Second, the court is not entering into the political fray to suggest whether or not ICE should be engaging in deportation activities in Springfield, Ohio. What the court is holding is that, when government actors engage in such conduct, the Constitution requires that it be undertaken without hazing, retaliation, or harassment, particularly with regard to an individual who does not interfere with ICE's enforcement function or police power. As Justice Gorsuch aptly said, the government is not free to disregard the First Amendment in times of crisis. Roman Catholic v. Diocese of Brooklyn v. Cuomo, 2020, Gorsuch, J., concurring, David J. Carey, Frida J. Levinson, and Carlin Zhang D'Souza, ACLU of Ohio, represent plaintiff.